You're listening to AIB Market Talk, bringing you financial market insights from AIB's experts.
Hello and welcome to our AIB Market Update on Tuesday the 28th of March. I'm Paul Ward from our Customer Treasury business and I'm joined today by AIB's Senior Economist John Faddy to discuss all things in relation to financial markets, but particular focus will be given to the main central banks and the recent decisions. Morning, John. How are we?
Good, Paul. Thanks.
Very good. John, I know it's 2 weeks since we've done our last market update and a lot's been going on in the markets, but we might start off with the central banks. And I'm thinking the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve and the ECB. And what have they been doing over the past few weeks?
Yeah, so a bit of an understatement, say a lot's been going on over the last couple of weeks. I think our last podcast captured the start of that volatility and turmoil on markets. So specifically, though, just around the three central banks, what we got from all three was further rate increases, despite that volatile backdrop. So from the perspective of the ECB, we got a 50 basis points hike for the third consecutive meeting at their March 16th gathering. So that brings the deposit rate up to 3% and the refi to 3.5%.
Yeah.
The Bank of England, which was last week, we got a 25 basis points increase, bringing the bank rate up to 4.25%. And the Fed also 25 basis points increase last week, with the target range now for the Fed funds rate 4.75 to 5%. So all three of those outcomes were broadly in line with our market expectations.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was a little bit less uncertainty in the lead up to those meetings, whether central banks would hike or not, given the backdrop and the volatility and the fallout from Silicon Valley Bank and the contagion to the banking sector and the general tightening of financial market conditions. But all three central banks carried on with their tightening cycle, although all three acknowledged the uncertainty out there, difficulty they have now going forward against that backdrop.
Grand. So as you said, John, it kind of, the hikes were almost in line with what we expected, but what does it now mean based on just what you said there in terms of probably the terminal rates for these central banks?
Well, it's got more difficult now for central banks. Even before this, it was quite tricky to get inflation down. But now, given what's happened in the last while with that volatility and certain banks coming under pressure in the US, and also we saw it with Credit Suisse in Europe with strains in the banking sector. So the job of central banks is even more difficult as they try to bring down inflation, maintain financial stability, and avoid excessive damage to the real economy. Because key aspect now, it was very much acknowledged last week by the Fed, is that banks become more nervous on the outlook and they start to tighten lending conditions, then that's where it impacts on the real economy. And that's what we've seen. So we've seen a tightening of financial conditions and lending standards for loans in the past year anyways, and that's been exacerbated and could be exacerbated even further. You know, if you look at the US Fed, what they noted that recent developments are likely to result in tighter credit conditions for households and businesses.
Yeah.
So that will weigh on economic activity, will weigh on hiring, but also could put some downward pressure on inflation, which is what the bank wants to see from overall perspective. But I think the big takeaway of what we've seen from that market volatility and turmoil is just a complete reassessment of markets.
Yeah.
Expectations around where the peak rates will be.
Yeah.
So if you look at it in terms of what's priced in now for the ECB, the markets, and there's still a lot of volatility.
Yeah.
So even as we record this podcast, you know, futures contracts are quite volatile
very
at the moment.
Yeah.
But if you look at the ECB, the market's expecting a peak now of between 3.25% and 3.5%.
And can I just ask you before you move on, John, what was that peak, say, even looking back, say, 2 weeks ago, or can you recall where was that peak?
Yeah, so at the beginning of March, that peak was 4%.
Wow.
So there's about 50 to 75 basis points less expected now in terms of the peak of the ECB rate.
And my sense is because the ECB has been a bit of a laggard, that in terms of the Bank of England and the Fed, it's probably quite a more kind of bigger story here now to tell. So what is...
Yeah, well, especially less so at the Bank of England. If you think last year was when we had in late September, October, the huge swings in the Bank of England because of the mini budget, the disastrous mini budget. So where the market is now for the Bank of England, I think the bank rate now is at 4.25. The market sees a peak of 4.5. So the market's expecting another rate hike. The peak in early March was 4.75. So slightly. But the big change has been in the Fed. The peak at the early March was 5.6%. The market now doesn't think we're going to get any more rate increases from the Fed. In other words, the Fed funds rate at 4.875, the midpoint of the range is how they target it, 4.75 to 5%. But the other key thing which I want to emphasize is that, you know, in early March, the market had not been really expecting any degree of rate cuts, especially this year, and only in the first half of this year. This is where the big change is going to, not just in the peak coming in, but also the fact that the market's now expecting pretty substantial rate cuts, especially well, predominantly in the US. So if you look at what futures contracts tell you for the Fed, the market at the moment is anticipating between 75 to 100 basis points of rate cuts this year, and potentially another 100 basis points of rate cuts next year from the Fed. So that would get interest rates in the US back closer to 3 to 3.25%. So that's been the big change.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
On that. The Bank of England, the market's pricing in roughly 15 to 20 basis points of a rate cut this year. So it's not fully pricing in at the moment, a full quarter percentage point rate cut. But when you look ahead to next year, the market's pricing in around 75 basis points of rate cuts from the Bank of England. So what that would mean by the end of 24, rates back closer to 3.5%.
And then what about European rates?
Well, at the moment, the market's not fully pricing in a 25 basis points cut by the end of this year. It's got about 15 basis points priced in, and there's about 50 priced in for next year. So that would see the depo rate get back towards or just below 3%.
What's your sense, John, of how, I suppose, how quickly things are evolving here?
Well, do you see, this is the point. So that's where we are at the moment. You know, 2 weeks ago, we weren't here.
Yeah.
So it will really, for those rate cuts to materialize where the market's expecting, especially in the US, but the market's pricing now and expecting in the US those level of rate cuts is that it thinks that the stresses in the banking sector are going to push the US economy into a more notable slowdown in growth because of that tightness in lending centers. Like small to medium sized banks are a key source of credit for US businesses, those regional banks. So what the market's anticipating is that they will tighten their lending standards drastically against this more volatile backdrop. And some of them are vulnerable to moves in interest rates, which is what we saw from the SVB example and the fallout from that. So that's the market seems to be anticipating that this could have a major development on the US economy and a significant impact. And as I mentioned earlier, Fed Chair Powell even said that last week. So if those US banks which are less confident about holding on to the deposit base will be more reluctant about continuing to lend at the same price as previously, then on the back of just a general tightening of lending standards, these stresses could morph into a much more substantial headwind in the US economy.
And how much has inflation now played into the recent moves of rates, John? Is it more of a backstory at the moment because everything that's going on and stresses of the financial system, etc.? Does it come back into play?
Well, I think the biggest factor driving those moves in futures contracts over the last 2 weeks has been the market turmoil, market stress. The other implication of this too is that from a currency perspective, you know, if what's expected there in the US, then this could weigh on the dollar out to the end of the year.
And where do you see that then trending, John?
Well, at the moment, if you look at it, if it was to materialize to any of that extent, so, you know, if you had the ECB implement much less in the way of rate cuts than the US and same with the Bank of England and the US Fed, in terms of what's expected there from the US Fed is over the next year, 75 to 100 basis points over the next 2 years, out to the end of 24, anything up to 200 basis points at the moment. So that could have a significant downward impact to some extent on the dollar. Now, all those central banks are expected to be cutting interest rates, but it could weigh more heavily on the dollar because where the dollar has benefited over the last 2 years has been the Fed has been the most aggressive in terms of rate hikes.
Absolutely.
That could reverse. So to put some numbers on that then, you're looking at euro dollar potentially trading up towards the 113 level by the end of this year.
I assume slow and steady though for the remaining year to get to that point.
To get to that point, because what you're likely to see is any times of market turmoil and uncertainty, that will obviously play into the dollar's hands, and that tends to get supported. Because if you look at the past where we are at the moment, we're coming towards the end of March now. If you look at the trading ranges for March, euro dollar, the low was 105, the high was roughly 109. So there's been a lot of volatility, but the trading range has been relatively confined. Yeah. Euro sterling, the trading range has been even more confined. It's broadly been in an 87 to 89p trading range. And for March, cable sterling against the dollar has been in 118 to 123. So it's been those pairs against the dollar that have seen the kind of wider trading ranges. And what we would expect is as we move through this year is both euro and potentially sterling against the dollar to see some upward moves. But because all this uncertainty, we don't expect it's going to be a sudden drastic weakening of the dollar. It's more gradual downward trend in the dollar. So in other words, euro dollar starts to trend upwards
Recent turmoil taught us anything in terms of that euro dollar performance, John? What I mean by that is obviously at certain stages over the last couple of weeks, a lot of focus has been on the US market, and then at other stages has been obviously the European market based on Credit Suisse, etc. So has the currency pair kind of rallied or fallen based on what's kind of where maybe the flow of information is coming from?
Yeah, well, if you look at the low point this month in euro dollar, that 105 level, it was the 15th, March the 15th. So that was the previous Thursday was when that news about SVB started to break.
Yeah.
And then as we come up towards St. Patrick's Day, you got the collapse of SVB, the US authorities stepping in to try and ease some of those concerns. So at that point, you saw a lot of risk aversion in markets. The previous week, you would have seen the S&P 500 down nearly 5%. It was down 4.5% on the week.
Yeah.
So that was that risk aversion support to the dollar 105. The high point in the pair occurred last week at 109.
Yes.
Against the backdrop of the Fed being much more concerned about the economic outlook. So that's where it's played into it.
Yeah.
As you say, it's where's the market more concerned? Is the focus on concerns over Europe, or is the focus on concerns in the US? But if it's a global concerted risk aversion, then that will support the dollar.
Yeah, and that's a trend that we've seen over the last number of years as well. And then just finally then, John, I assume euro sterling, it probably remains in a fairly tight trading range, or?
Yeah, that's been characteristic of the pair for much of the past couple of months. As I said, just the past month itself is 87 to 89p. So we don't expect any huge breakout of those ranges at the moment. At different periods, a bit of volatility in relation to it. But the big focus now really is, I think where markets are focused now is on the US, whether the banking sector fallout and weakness there and tightness in lending conditions start to have a more drastic impact on the economy.
Yeah.
And on the back of that, do you get those substantial rate cuts that are priced in? So what we talked about there is what the market's pricing in,
of course,
in terms of those contracts. That doesn't necessarily mean what's happened. All you have to go back is 2 weeks ago, and that wasn't priced in there. So if you get further bouts of that in the banking sector and that turmoil, then that could weigh on the US economy and in turn see the Fed have to cut interest rates, which would start to see euro dollar trend upwards as we move towards the end of the year, and which is why our trading range, the midpoint would be 113 by Q4.
Okay. John, many thanks for your time and valuable insights. And a big thanks indeed to our customers, colleagues and listeners for joining us on this podcast. As always, stay up to date with the latest market developments. Please subscribe to AIB's Market Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of AIB Market Talk. Allied Irish Banks PLC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. AIB NI is a trademark used under licence by AIB Group UK PLC, authorised by the Prudential Regulation Authority and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and the Prudential Regulation Authority. Allied Irish Bank GB and Allied Irish Bank GB Savings Direct are trademarks used under licence by AIB Group UK PLC, authorised by the Prudential Regulation Authority and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and the Prudential Regulation Authority.